before the God of the universe to make our requests and needs known to him. And how often do we neglect that great privilege that is ours? Thank you for that message. Well, it's good to have the Ionellas here with us this week. I had never met them before, even though we have a lot of people we know in common, and he came from Rochester, New York, but we'll forgive you for that. But he was in a different church than where I went to Bible school up there, but just getting to know him last night, he and his wife, really think we have a kindred spirit here, looking forward to what God has for us through him. He started a church in Tennessee for 22 years he was there, and now his son is pastoring that church as he is on in evangelism at this time. So good to have you here, brother. Come preach to us.
And I'll try to be here on time.
Amen. Well, if you are interested, this evening I will be bringing a message and sharing my testimony. So if you want to know all about my background, say I was a professional lost person. So I did it real well. I mean, I was an expert lost person. So if you want to hear my testimony, come this evening. Love to be able to share that with you. But you know that song that was played by my wife? Did you ever wonder where they got the name for that song? Sweet Hour of Prayer? Seriously? Really? I mean, for them to name it that, it probably had to be more commonplace. And what would we have to name that hymn today? Sweet 10 minutes of prayer? 5 minutes of prayer? No prayer? I mean, I wish I was a better example. But unfortunately, you know, God says you just get up there and preach the word. Never think that just because the man preaching it is preaching it. We're told to preach the word doesn't mean we haven't mastered ourselves. And I would love to be a better prayer warrior than I am. But yet I have made some commitments this last week to the Lord to increase my prayer time, to increase my prayer life. And I know that pleases him. So if you would, turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 16 tonight, today. Who knows? I don't know if it's night or day or what month it is. I wake up not even knowing what city I'm in. Where are we, honey? Where are we? Are we at home? Are we in the RV? Where are we? Acts chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 8. Bible says, "And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, in a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I need your help. I'm not worthy nor capable of delivering the message the way you'd have it be delivered. So I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would be with my mind, my mouth, my eyes, my thoughts, Lord, every part of me, that I might bring you forth the glory that's due your name. Lord, by the end of today, we were created for your pleasure, it says in Revelation 4:11. So I pray that by the end of the day, by the end of the week, that you be honored, that you be glorified, that you be pleased with decisions made, Lord, with direction of people, and God, that we be more so conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, that we go home different than we came. For these things we do ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now the word revival, we just sang a song about revival. What is to revive? It's to take something that was alive, that's kind of died, and bring it back to life again, to revive someone, just like doing CPR. And we need that, Christian. We need to be revived. Yeah. We need that. And you know, and I've got some real bad news for you. We're more Laodicean than we'd like to admit. You want to compare Christianity today to Christianity 50 and 100 years ago? The way our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers and grandmothers lived, they were thankful, a lot more thankful, hard-working people. We are more Laodicean than we'd like to admit. So why do I say that? Well, this is a revival. It's our opportunity to be less Laodicean, to be revived, to be quickened. And I hope that that happens this week. That's my objective. This message I'm about to preach to you, in my opinion, only my opinion, is the most important message I preach. The most important message. So if there's any one of the messages you listen to from now through Thursday, let this be the one. This one will help you get to the finish line, standing up rather than having to be dragged across it. Look at verse 13 with me. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. Wont to be made. He had to get out of the city. He understood that there's no way I'm going to be able to communicate with the Lord properly amongst all this busyness. Come, people coming and going, just the city life and just how busy it is and horns blaring and people yelling. And that's what we have to put up with today. And Paul says we need to get out of the city. We need to go get by a river so that we can pray like we're supposed to. And you know, Christian, these things are the greatest interrupter to anything between us and God, myself included. Even when I read my Bible or I pray and I might take this thing and put it upside down on the table next to me, if it pings or vibrates, I have to know who it is. What if you're right in the middle of prayer and you just have to know who it is? You know what you're basically saying? Hey, Lord, I know how important our conversation is, but someone's trying to reach me. Do you mind if I put you on hold for a minute? Who is it that we're telling the Lord is most important? We just have to know. You see, back in my day, we had these things called answering machines. And it was okay to call somebody at 9 o'clock in the morning. And if they called you back after dinner at 6, that was okay. That was okay. When I get home, I'm done working, I'm done eating, done doing the things I have to do, and I'll check my phone messages. That was okay. Not anymore. Now if you get a ping or a buzz or a text or whatever, and you don't answer it within a minute, you get 62,000 question marks. Where are you? Why are you not answering me? That's the society we now live in. That's what we live in. And I was at an airport watching these teenagers. They were going on a trip somewhere, a whole bunch of them, and they were sitting opposite rows, one row facing this row, one row facing this way. They were across from each other, and they couldn't talk. They had to text across from each other. Yeah, that's the society. We have a society now that doesn't know how to communicate. We don't know how to communicate. How many of you know your neighbors? You know why they had front porches? You know, yeah, yeah. People used to sit out on them. Neighbors would walk by. Hey, Brother Bob, how you doing? Good, brother, how you doing? We don't even know our neighbors. Why? We're too busy. Coming and going, coming and going, coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. And yet we expect to have a relationship with the Lord? Now, notice it says there in that verse, verse 17, it says prayer was wont to be made. Do you notice how they spelled want? That's W-O-N-T. That's not W-A-N-T. Very important. Catch this. W-O-N-T means to be accustomed to. Habit. Not like W-A-N-T, which is your desire. There's a big difference between duty and desire. Why are you here today? Well, it's because it's Sunday. If I don't show up, pastor will come visit me. Because I'm supposed to. I've been doing it now for 20 years. I'm not going to stop now. You know, it's just church. Check it off my list. Done. There's a big difference between W-O-N-T and W-A-N-T. And here, they're saying it was a duty. Prayer was want to be made. We got to get down by the riverside. It's prayer time. You know, we got to get to church now. It's church time. Now, come on, it's Bible study time. It's morning service. Come on, we got to. Come on, let's go. Hurry up. Come on, it'll only last an hour. Come on. It's the heart. God looketh on the heart. Man looketh on the outward. God looketh on the heart. You might think I'm doing real well today. I've got my tie on, with my little net matching hanky thing over here. And I got a tie clip. I'm looking good, man. I got my Bible under my arm. My hair is even combed. You know, I am a Christian. I could fool all of you, but there's someone I can't fool as far as my relationship with him. And there's a big difference between your state and your standing. You might be saved eternally, saved forevermore. Amen. But are you in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the difference between W-O-N-T and W-A-N-T. We see the interruption of society. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that goes something like this, be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. So let's read that backwards. Don't be still and don't know God. Do you really know him? You know, this week, your responsibility that if you're excited and you're happy to be here, you have to tell your face, okay? That's a requirement. You have to tell your face. And you have to pretend that your favorite football team has won the Super Bowl. There was 1 second left on the clock. They were at the 2-yard line, and they scored. And they were down by 6, and they won by 1, and you were so excited, you blasted off through the roof of your house. We need revival. Amen. Now, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. I don't have that luxury. Amen? We're like, you know, allergic to field goals or something. I don't know. But, you know, I used to travel a lot. I'm an engineer by trade, mechanical engineer. And I used to travel all over the world. When I'd come home, there was nothing like seeing, I'd pull up into the driveway and I'd see 3 little faces pressed up against the storm glass window, excited that Dad was home. Excited. They're about to see Dad. And I used to think it was because of me, but it was because I brought home those large Cracker Barrel Tootsie Rolls. But I still told myself it was because of me. And how would God feel if that's how we presented ourselves to him? Lord, it's almost my prayer time. I pray to you at 7 every morning. It's almost my prayer time, Lord. I can't wait. I'll be with you in 10 minutes. I'm looking forward to it. Versus W-O-N-T, and we check it off. Because I know if I asked any of you in here, who is the most important being to you in the entire universe? God, really? Would your time talking to him support that? Would there be enough evidence to convict you of it? We need more W-A-N-T. You know, and when I'm on this thing, I could be doing business, getting texts from people and all the rest. Evangelism business, church business, yeah. And I'm talking to my wife, hey, honey, you want to go out for dinner tonight? You want to get something to eat? And all of a sudden, I notice she has stopped talking. She's not talking to me. And I notice it, and I look up and go, what? Why aren't you talking to me? She goes, because you're talking to it.
Yeah.
Your attention's focused there. You want to talk to me? You look at me. As long as you're talking to that, I'm not talking.
Amen.
And I wonder if our Heavenly Father would say, I want your undivided attention. Right now, for the next 10 minutes, 15 minutes, however long it goes, I want to be number one to you. I don't want to be number two, number three, number four. I don't want you to talk to me. And I understand we pray when we're mowing a lawn. We pray when we're driving. We pray when we're doing dishes. We pray when we're cooking. That's all great. That's all great. Nothing wrong with that. But is there ever a time that it's you and 100% Him? Nothing else. No cell phones. No kids around. No animals. No. That's why they used to call it a prayer closet, because you were in there alone and it was in the dark. But if you don't have that, you won't make it to the finish line the way you should. You know, refrigerators, they're really pretty appliances these days. You know, brushed aluminum and stainless steel. Man, they are pretty. There's only one problem. They don't work unless they're plugged in. And neither do we. When's the last time you got plugged in? When's the last time you gave Him your undivided attention? No baby on your lap, no television on, no radio, no driving, nothing. Total. And see, we don't like that, because we think that if we're not moving, we're not productive. You know, the Bible says that Epaphras labored fervently in prayer. Fervent labor. Jesus sweat great drops of blood when He prayed. Oh, it is labor. It's very much labor. So we see the interruption of society. Let's look at the second interruption. And in verse 13, the second part of it says, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. What? I thought you went to pray. Huh? What are you doing? What are you doing talking to the women? Well, it's a soul-winning opportunity. Well, that's great. But is that what you set out to do? Wasn't it time for prayer? Yeah, it was time for prayer, but these women were down here, so we decided to talk to them instead of God. Oh. You see, oftentimes, the greatest enemy to God's best is God's good. We can do a whole lot of good things that aren't the best things. You know, when I get on airplanes and the stewardess is doing the introduction at the beginning, she says, if the pressure in the cabin were to decrease, oxygen mask will fall from the ceiling. Place yours on first so that you can then assist those around you. If you don't get what you need from God, what in the world do you have to give to others for God? You got to be connected. You've got to be plugged in. That's what gives you what you need to help others. And Paul here totally forsook the prayer that they went to do and started soul winning. I wanted to pray, but mother called. I wanted to pray, but the dog was barking. I wanted to pray, but the cat messed. I wanted to pray, but. We've got so many buts as to why we can't do this and why we can't do that. E.M. Bounds is probably the foremost expert, you might say, on prayer. And E.M. Bounds says that spiritual work is taxing work, and men are loath to do it. Praying, true praying, costs an outlay of serious attention and of time, which flesh and blood do not relish. Didn't Jesus say two commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Which one was first? Take care of your neighbor after you have your time with God. Then God gives you what you need for your neighbor. It's just very simple. But we don't do it. Look at verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. That's wonderful. She probably ended up getting saved. That's a good thing. It is good. You know, and the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, we have the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. That's what I call the gap theory. Good, acceptable, and perfect. There's your gap theory. Because there's a huge gap between that which is good and that which is perfect. What is perfect? Spending some time with your Heavenly Father. If he truly is the most important being to you in the entire universe. You know, because I know when you go shooting bow and arrow, I used to love shooting bow and arrow as a kid. And I'd pull back that bow with that arrow, and I would aim for the outer ring of the target. Thank you. You aim for the bullseye, the center. That's perfect. So why in other areas of our lives are we so okay with what's acceptable or what's good? Why do we not go for that which is perfect? How much time have you had with your Father? I can tell you right now, for a lot of you, I bet it's not much time at all. How do you know that, preacher? Because that was my testimony for years and years and years. I'd rather be doing something, feeling like I'm accomplishing something. But yet the Bible says, be still and know. Still. I call myself a Bible believer. I'd say, being on the go, and I will know. No, no. David and Daniel, both of them prayed three times a day, evening, morning, and noon. And I know you might say, I just don't have time for all this God stuff. Okay, I'll help you. Take out your spiritual eraser and clear your calendar of everything. Everything, everything. It's blank, blank slate. Now put in everything having to do with God. I got Sunday morning Bible study service and the evening service. And then Wednesday night church service and my Bible time and my prayer time every day. And then I like to have someone over to the house, you know, once a week to kind of minister to them. And, oh, I want to go on outreach and, you know, do some soul winning. Okay, good. I've got all that in. Now what else you want to do? Oh, I like to go bowling. Fine, go bowling. I like to play golf. Fine, play golf. I like to have the grandkids over. Fine, have the grandkids over. But you put first things first. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. He just wants to know that he's number one. Amen. Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. You know, set, as if you're holding something, right? And God says, set it on, you know, your affections on things above. Where are you going to put it, Paul? Where are you going to put it? Your choice. Where you want to put it? You want to put it in school? You want to put it in business? You want to put it in money? You want to put it in just going out and having fun all the time? You want to put it in family? Where are you going to put your affections? Doesn't the Bible say, son, give me thine heart? Where are you going to put your affections? It's important. It's very important. And you say, but my heart's not in it, preacher. My heart's just not in it. And I don't want to be a hypocrite. Why should I pray if I really don't want to pray? The Bible says to pray. Do right because it's right, not because you feel like it. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be. Now those good nuns, they taught me that shall be meant future. Future, not right now, future. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That means do right because it's right, and God will change your heart about it. You think when I first got saved, I wanted to tithe? Are you crazy? I asked my wife, is that the net or the gross? And she said, gross. I said, it sure is. I didn't want to. You know why I did? The Bible said to. You know, someone said, have you shared Christ yet after I got saved? Have you shared Christ with your mom and your dad and your brothers and sisters? I said, no. Why not? I don't know what to say. I just got saved myself. What do you say? They're going to ask me questions. They're going to ask me, were there dinosaurs on the ark? I don't know. But I did. Why? The Bible says to. And God changed my heart about it.
Amen.
Today I'm preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Do right because it's right. You don't have to feel like it for God to be pleased. And it says, commit thy works. It does take commitment. And we don't like that word, do we? We don't like that word, commitment. Yuck. Tithing, reading, praying, witnessing. I didn't relish any of them, but I did it because it was right. So we're creatures of habit. Did you know that? You're a creature of habit. Nashville just had 15 tornadoes hit a couple months ago. I think it was January. And came right down our street. F3 tornado right down the street. And we didn't have power for 3 days. In those 3 days, how many times do you think I flicked on a light switch? We're creatures of habit. Creatures of habit. One day my wife said, honey, there's tons of water pouring out from underneath the sink in the master bathroom. And I said, oh, okay, I'll take care of it. I went to get a Tupperware container, and I came in. I said, honey, get out of the way. I'll take care of it. And I get under there, and I'm disconnecting everything, and water's pouring into the Tupperware container, and I'm taking all the elbows off and cleaning them out and all the rest. And now I'm sitting there with this tub of Tupperware water, and I said, what do I do with it? So I dumped it in the sink. You're right. I really shouldn't be preaching to you this week. But we're creatures of habit. We're creatures of habit. Now, I'm going to admit to you, I'm a little carnal. I watched Rocky. And do you remember Rocky won? Rocky lost. And so in Rocky 2, Mickey says, we got to change everything. We're going to have to make you into a right-handed fighter. Because he was a southpaw. He was fighting left hand. And Mickey says, you got to fight with your right hand, your right hand. And Rocky says, Mick, you know, I can't do it. You know, I'm a left-handed fighter. I can't fight with my right hand. And he says, you're going to do it. Hit that bag 500 times till it hoits. That's what he said to him. And Rocky won. Why? Because he changed it up. He established a new habit. You can do it, and I can do it. Yes. And you start out by 5 minutes a day. Five minutes a day. Why do I say five? How come you're not saying 30 minutes or an hour, sweet hour of prayer? Because I want you to accomplish that which you commit to do. And then after you get that, go to 10. And after you get that, go to 15. Maybe one day you'll be a sweet hour of prayer. But do something that you can accomplish rather than constantly feeling like a failure. Because I know you don't like to stop any more than I do. How do you know I don't like to stop? Okay. You're 200 feet from a traffic light and it turns yellow. What pedal do you push? So God convicted me of that because I tell you, I did not push the brake. I don't like to stop. God convicted me. He says, Paul, what if you took the time that you sat at a red light, because 99% of the time you're in the car by yourself. What if you just took that time to talk to me? 3 minutes here, 5 minutes there. How many minutes more in a daytime would you and I talk if you were more willing to stop and be still? Yes, we see the interruption of society and the interruption of soul winning. Let's look at verse 15 of our text. Oh, there they are. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Point number three, another interruption. The interruption of soul winning. Socializing. Christian fellowship is good, but the Lord's fellowship is best. And here we are fellowshipping. We're not short on fellowship with each other, but we often forsake the most important fellowship of all. So you say, but preacher, would Jesus forsake soul winning and socializing opportunities so that he could go and pray? Well, let's see. Greatest commentary on the Bible is the Bible. Turn your Bible to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. And look at verse 23 with me. And when he, Jesus, had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. I want you to circle in your Bible, that is not blasphemy to circle something in your Bible. Away, apart, and alone. All in that verse. Away, apart, and alone. That's what we call AAA prayer protection. Away, apart, and alone. Jesus sent the multitudes away. You could have won them to Christ. You could have had some really good, sweet fellowship with them. Jesus didn't send the people away because he didn't care about people. He sent the people away because he did. He needed to get with his Father in heaven. And that's what people needed, his time with them. Do you know that the average Christian, this is the average Christian based on statistics I studied, spends 10 minutes a day in prayer. 10. And just 16% of pastors are satisfied with their own prayer life. So again, I'll ask you, who's the most important being to you in the entire universe? Remember when you first met your significant other, your spouse, and you talk and talk and talk. 2 hours would seem like 10 minutes. And you talk 3 times a day, 4 times a day, texting, email, like gifts, just, you just couldn't get enough. I remember back when I was dating Miss Jenny, and my son was actually setting appointments for me for engineering down in Florida. And I said to my son, I said, son, I know I got to go from Nashville to Florida. Do you think I could do it by way of Louisville? Which was going 3 hours north so I could turn around and go back south. Why would you go so far out of your way? Because I wanted to spend time with her. I wanted to see her. I wanted to talk to her. It was a want, W-A-N-T, not a want, W-O-N-T. Yeah. So when we say that God is most important to us in our lives, how far do we go out of our way to talk to him? Yeah. You know, when my kids were young and we were in the house together, I'd be sitting in my chair with them, reading my Bible, maybe reading a paper or whatever the case may be. And they would come down the stairs and walk past me and go outside and come back in, walk past me and go upstairs and come down, get something out of the refrigerator, go back upstairs and back and forth and back and forth. And this whole time, never speaking to me once, I knew there was a problem. I knew there was a problem between me and them. And I had to sit them down and talk to them. You know, we come and go all day long. And our Father is with us. He lives within you. And we never take the time to talk to him, or we give him 2 minutes of our day, or 3 minutes. And yet we think we're plugged in. We're not plugged in. It's so important, Christian. It was so important to our ancestors that they wrote a hymn about it. Sweet Hour of Prayer. All right, so now we've got the soul winning done. We've got the socializing done. Now, can we pray? Well, let's look. Verse 16. Acts 16, verse 16. And it came to pass as we went to prayer. How about that? How about that? A certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Interruption of spirits. Don't you think that the devil and his host love to interfere with you when you're about to do something for God? How many things happen on Sunday morning? I mean, seriously, probably all of us could find a reason to have not come to church today. Even if you're an arthritic, you know, thinker or whatever the case. We could all find a reason as to why we shouldn't go to church today. Because the devil presents those opportunities to us. He loves it. Now, this devil here saying, you better listen to these guys, Paul, and, you know, of the Most High God. He's a servant of the Most High God. He shows you the way of salvation. And you might be saying to yourself, well, she's saying the right stuff. Yes, a good distraction is still a distraction. Did you hear me? A good distraction is still a distraction. You're reading your Bible or you're praying to the Lord and all of a sudden mom comes to the door. You know, the kids are asking, mom, I need something. And a good distraction is still a distraction. Are you disciplined enough that you can put everything else on hold and tell everybody, this is my prayer time. Don't call me. Unless someone's dying, don't call me. Don't text me. Don't interrupt me. Because when you do, I have to put him on hold. Amen. Maybe you don't believe in spirits, maybe you don't believe in demonic warfare, I'll share a story with you. When I was pastoring, a lady came to our church, and she knew my deacon, and she said, his name was Randy, she said, Randy, would you and your pastor go by and visit my son? His name was Ryan. And would you go visit Ryan? We said, sure, we'll go by on visitation night, we'll go visit Ryan. She says, he really needs help, he really needs help. So we go by Ryan's house on Thursday night, and there was no car in the driveway. He said, nobody's home. No lights on. The grass was about this high. Looked like it was a vacant house. And there was a Doberman pincher and a Rottweiler that wanted to invite us over for dinner. And they were behind a fence, thank God. So we went up to the door, and it looked like there was no light on in the house at all. Nothing. This. So we knock. Nobody comes to the door. We look a little closer. You know, they have those old diamond windows. And I'm looking, and there's a bluish glow. For those of you that are old enough to remember black and white television sets, it produced that bluish glow. And I said, I think someone's in there. Knock a little louder, Randy. So he knocked louder. Ryan comes to the door. Ryan has on this demonic t-shirt. He has something hanging around his neck in a bag. I didn't want to know what was in the bag. The house was totally dark, except for that bluish glow, which was coming from a black and white television set. So we said, Ryan, we're just come by. I'd like to talk to you. He knew Randy. He said, yeah, you guys can come in. And so we came in, and as I walked in, I looked over to the right, and that black and white television set didn't have any sound coming from it. It had a skeleton sitting on a throne. And it was moving. And as I walked, he said, you can sit over here on the couch. As I walked over the couch, that thing rotated and followed me across the room. When I stopped, it stopped. And I sat down and I asked him, would you please turn that off and turn the lights on? And he did. And I proceeded to share the gospel with Ryan. When I got done sharing the gospel with him, I asked him, Ryan, do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And he said, yes, I do. Said, you'll have to ask him. I can't do it for you. Silence. I said, Ryan, you said you wanted to get saved. If you want to accept the Lord as your Savior, you'll have to ask him. You'll have to pray. Total silence. I said, Ryan, I'm not going to force you. We'll leave now. I was under the understanding that you wanted to get saved. That's why I presented the opportunity to you. If you want to get saved, this is your last chance, and then we're going to take off, and you can call us if you want us. We'll see, you know. And all of a sudden, I'm not going to imitate the voice because I don't want to give credence to that thing. But it was a voice that came out of hell. It was not the voice that came out of a teenage boy. You say, oh boy, here we go with the demon stories. For the next 6 weeks, the right-hand side of my face was paralyzed. And I preached with this just hanging down, drooling. My eye just continued to water. I had to wear an eye patch. For 6 weeks, it was like that from the night that I left his house. I believe in demonic activity. And I believe that whenever you want to go to prayer or whenever you want to read your Bible, that devil is against you with everything he's got. Because he wants to keep you from being plugged in. He knows he can't change your standing, but he can change your state. He wants to break your fellowship with the Lord. How do you know Paul didn't pray? Come on, how do you know he didn't pray? It said he went to prayer. How do you know he didn't pray? Look at verse 18. The Bible will tell us. And this she did many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, finally, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Why did he wait so many days to deal with this spirit? Why? You don't think Paul knew that that woman was possessed of a devil? Why did Paul wait so many days to deal with it? Because 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. That's something you can put on your refrigerator to remember. Well, now Paul can go pray, right? We're done with the soul winning. We're done with the socializing. We're done with the spirits. We're done with the busyness of society. Can we now go pray? Verse 19 tells us no. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs that are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, Paul and Silas cried out, defund the police, Roman lives matter. Amen? No, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. Paul got out of the city for what reason? He needed a place of quiet. God says, I've got one for you. The inner prison. The outer prison, you can still hear people outside through the wall. But the inner prison, you'll be all by yourself. There'll be nobody there. I mean, you'll be totally by yourself. It'll be totally dark. You know, just like a prayer closet, except this one's a prayer cell. It'll be totally dark. It'll be totally quiet. Nobody will bother you. Nobody's going to be coming or going. And you won't be able to come and go. It's exactly what you were looking for, Paul. I've provided it for you. You see how good God is? You know, and made their feet fast in the stocks. You can't go anywhere. All you can do here is pray and be still. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Finally, there was a want to pray. We went to pray. We ended up having to be whipped to pray. So, Christian, the choice is ours, mine included. Prayer closet or prayer cell. But God will make accommodations for us to get what he wants from us. He wants to talk to you. How often does he get that opportunity? Sometimes he puts us so low that the only direction we can look is up. I wonder what kind of accommodations he'll arrange for us so that we'll find the time to pray. The Bible says, David said in Psalm 119, verse 62, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Now, look at the second part of verse 25. Not only was there salvation due to prayer, there was salvation due to praise. And they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. God always has an audience ready to witness how people handle trials. You know, it says the prisoners heard. Now soul winning is in its proper place. Me first, prisoners second. When you get things in the right order, just like we heard about in Sunday school, as far as the ark, get things in the right order. You do the ark on the shoulders of the Levites, and I'll help you. I'll help you. And verse 26, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. When we pray, power's provided to all the house. To all the house. Mom and Dad, if you were to do more praying, what kind of power would be presented to your children? To all the house, all the prisoners, all the shackles came off, all the doors flew open. How many doors would you like to see opened? A great and effectual door is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Yes, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Are there any situations in your life you'd like to see shaken, you'd like to see opened, you'd like to see loosed? Maybe you should try and pray and seek first the kingdom of God and set your affections on things above. Now watch this, verse 27. Then the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Paul says, basically, don't worry, I'm not leaving. This is the only place I can actually practice social distancing. He was harassed, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was imprisoned, he was put in stocks. It was midnight, and all of that brought forth prayer. What will it take for you? What will it take for me? Verse 29, our last verse. And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Doing it Paul's way, Paul went to sinners. Doing it God's way, sinners came to Paul. Interesting. The very thing that kept Paul from praying initially is what God brought to him after praying. One man sows, another man waters, but God brings the increase. I have a question, though. Where's the soul winning? How did the Philippian jailer know that he needed to be saved? Where was the witness? It doesn't say Paul cried out, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." No. Nobody said anything. Somebody spoke to the Philippian jailer and said, "You need to be saved." Paul then told him how to be saved, but how did the Philippian jailer know he needed to be saved? How did he know he was lost? You get things right, God takes care of the rest. God brings forth the increase. I remember when we had a church-wide soul-winning event. We canvassed the community-wide soul-winning event. We canvassed the entire city of White House, Tennessee. Flyers, knock on doors, give tracts and flyers. Everybody got hit. The next week, wouldn't you believe it, we had visitors galore. It was a blessing. Amen. And I'd go up to the visitors and I'd say, "Hello, ma'am. Thank you for coming to visit New Beginnings Baptist Church. You got one of our flyers, didn't you?" "No." "Flyer, what flyer?" "Well, we put out flyers and tracts and everything yesterday, that's why I thought you were here. You're not here for that? What are you here for then? Why did you come here?" "Well, we've been driving by this church for years, and we just decided on this Sunday, let's stop in and visit." And right after that, I go over to another person. "Hello, ma'am. How are you? Sir, how are you? Good to have your family here with us. Did you get one of our flyers on your door?" No. "Now I got an invitation from a guy I worked with. He, you know, your buddy over there, Bud. You know, he works with me, and he invited me to come." "And you didn't get a flyer?" "No, I didn't get a flyer." God doesn't need me. God doesn't need you. God doesn't need me. God wants us, A-N-T, not O-N-T. Question Christian, is it an ANT or an ONT for you? Have you been laying aside God's best to make room for God's good? He gave you his undivided attention on Calvary. Don't we at least owe him that? Is your oxygen mask secured first? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God? Have you set your affections on things above? Is it the good, the acceptable, or the perfect? What are you aiming for? Is it the bullseye? Life's traffic light is yellow. What pedal are you going to push? Be still and know that I am God. Away, apart, alone. AAA prayer protection. What kind of accommodations will the Lord have to make for you? A prayer cell or a prayer closet? This little card right here. I first preached this message September 17th, the year 2000. And this was written by our current pastor when he was 10 years old. He said, Pastor Paul's Sunday message, September 17th, year 2000, locked up to look up. And all the verses. And on the back it says, great message, Dad. I love you. Love from Luke. And you ask Luke, our pastor now. He says, that's my favorite message my dad ever preached because it meant so much to him. And today he's pastoring our church.
Amen.
How important is prayer to you? Does God need to get you locked up before you'll look up? Preacher.